Welcome to the Wisdom Coalition podcast, designed to show you how to change your mindset so you can find more joy in every aspect of your life.
Today's episode is brought to you by Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets.
Joy for All Companion Pets provide joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to your aging loved ones and peace of mind for your family.
Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
Special thanks to WFMZ-TV and thank you for listening. I'm Nancy Wertheen.
And I'm Kim Howie. We invite you to experience the life-changing power of joy with us.
All right. Well, let's check in with some listeners in Hobart, Australia, Riga in Latvia, and Basel, Switzerland, which, oh, by the way, is where my parents got married.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. Well, and hello to, oh, goodness, is that Debari?
Looks it.
Okay, Debari, Florida, Cave Creek, Arizona, and Farmingham, Massachusetts.
Yeah, we got listeners all, you know, very obscure places, but I like to throw those in.
I know, that's
interesting.
Fun.
Yeah. So, you know how my older daughter moved into her own place?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I went to visit her the other day, and I walked in, and she's like, can you take your shoes off?
Oh, my gosh, I love that.
Now, listen, I'm a big advocate of taking your shoes off. We do it in my house, but she's not exactly a clean freak in my house.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Well, I have to say, that does give me hope, though, because, you know, I think it is a whole different ball game when they have to clean up, right? Like, it's their own mess, and they have to clean it up. Like, okay, so maybe my children will at some point, like, you know, start to value cleanliness.
It's so funny. There's this video that I've seen circulating on social media where these two parents go to visit their adult children, and they, like, walk in the front door and just, like, drop their coats on the floor, and then they go in the kitchen, and they're, like, putting bread on the counter with no plate. And, like, you know, just making a huge mess. It's just so funny.
Oh, my gosh. You have got to share that with me. I love that. I have to say, it reminds me of, I remember seeing one a long time ago where, like, a parent just threw, like, a complete temper tantrum in a store, right? Like, threw themselves on the ground, kicking and screaming. And then the kids are looking at them like, what are you doing? That's embarrassing.
That's so funny. Well, we have a really awesome show planned for you today. Because I think that it is just really in step with a lot of what we talk about, you know, finding hope and finding joy. So we're going to be exploring a new book. It's called Redeeming Heartache. It's getting a lot of attention, and we have the co-authors with us today. They are psychologist Dr. Dan Allender and counselor and teacher Kathy Lorzel, both of the Allender Center at the Seattle School of Theology and Psychology. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us.
Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure.
And I'll add, thank you. Delight to be with you.
Yeah. So let's first talk about your work at the Allender Center. And, you know, we both know that you both co-founded the center with Dan's wife, Becky, back in 2010. Can you give us an overview of your focus there?
Well, our interplay is between inviting people to engage their story. It's such a simple word. But so often, we really don't look at the reality that our past really does have the power to shape our present and future. So we're looking at story, but particularly through the lens of trauma and the heartache of living in a world that so often brings us a disruption in the things that we desire, or at least the direction that we want to go. Mm.
So we find that there are two. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Kathy. That's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, we find that there are really two areas. One are people who need healing from trauma and sexual abuse that come to do work with us. But then a large majority of what we do is training other people to do this work on behalf of others. But the core theory is that you can't take anyone further than you're willing to go yourself. And so an unhealed, unexamined life cannot actually help heal other people's lives, not to the degree that is possible if there's healing involved. So that's really the core premise of our work there.
So interesting. And I know you wrote the book together. And interestingly, Kathy, to your point, you both reflected in the book about your own lives. And the book Redeeming Heartache, to me, I felt like it's really about hope. Kathy, would you agree with that?
I do. Yeah. I think what I love is that it doesn't shy away from the reality of trauma and heartbreak in our lives, and that it's inevitable. But I do think what I love about it is that it gives us a pathway forward to say that doesn't have to end there. And it's not just about recognizing trauma. It's about healing and being able to move into a space where there's more hope, more healing, and more beauty and goodness possible in your life.
Well, and so Dan, you mentioned story and the work that you do at the Allender Center. Can you talk to us about the significance of story when it comes to the healing process?
Well, one of the things that always amazes me is we love story. Everyone loves story. We wouldn't be watching as many films or Netflix as we end up doing, especially through the last several years. Yet, the notion that you have a story, not just stories, but you actually are a story, not just with a beginning, middle, and an end, but with themes, with, in one sense, heartache, but also beauty. And that notion that we are such a intersection between brokenness and beauty. And yet so often we want to hide our brokenness. And yet it's what makes us so richly human, but also gives us something of the framework of what we're meant to bring into this earth on the benefit of others, but also ourselves. So our story begins certainly in our family of origin. It always involves some degree of heartache, but also, as you put it so well, so much hope is in our world. And what we continue to try and do is to link brokenness and beauty as something that we are meant to open our hearts to and open our lives to others on behalf of for.
Yeah. And Dan, you kind of touched on this, that, you know, sometimes we're in denial about things and it's kind of hard to tap into these stories. And in the book you wrote, I just loved this line, you wrote, "We must understand our moments of shattering." And you went on to say about denial, you said, "When our reactive and defensive systems take over our ability to relate, the drama of trauma can effectively silence us and blind us to others." I wondered if you could talk a little bit about this whole idea of denial and why it's so important to try to really open our eyes to our stories, to our backgrounds.
Oh, it's such a great question. With a heartache in any form, it's really, whether it's small T or capital T trauma, can't help but fragment us. You know, the moment that some really bad news comes into our world, our thinking changes. We're not able to think sequentially, logically well. We feel overwhelmed. We begin to shut down, to numb, and it's so easy to isolate. So those three words, fragmentation, numbing, isolation, we literally are in something of a fight, flight, freeze process. And if we, in some sense, don't begin to address trauma, those patterns play out over a lifetime because they give us, at least in the moment, some sense of security and comfort. And yet, oh my gosh, they virtually always take us away from being able to grieve, but also to be able to laugh. I mean, we're so much clearer neurologically now that the very pathways of pain are also, of course, the very pathways of pleasure. And our inability to own and grieve our own story, in some sense, keeps us from being able to celebrate and have joy, real joy, in the midst of our own and other people's stories. So we end up living out the past into the present, and in some ways, shadowing the potential of the future. And that's what our hope is, to be able to unlock the heart, to enter grief, but for the sake of joy.
Love that. And I love what you said about how you are a story. Boy, that gave me chills when you said that. So Kathy, I know you had also mentioned, you know, that trauma shifts our landscape like an earthquake, and that, you know, often it's the secondary effects that are more destructive than the initial quake. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, there's so much research out there about the impact of trauma, like Dan said. You know, but when we experience that shattering, we then have a decision to make, because our survival tactics say, okay, that was dangerous. We're not okay. And so now I need to shift my style of relating, my way of interacting with the world, to keep me from experiencing that again. And so oftentimes, you know, as we're working with folks, the original trauma is a big deal and you have to go back to that. But often it's the aftermath of how a family engaged around trauma or abuse or ignored it or asked someone to stuff it down, mm-hmm. Or it brought shame and humiliation. And so then you make decisions on how you're going to be in the world. So you become more defensive, you become hypervigilant. You know, we go into the archetypes of orphan, widow, and stranger to say, you know, when you have that harm, you decide what the world is now telling you. So, you know, if your parents are telling you that you're just being overly dramatic because something hurt your feelings, you're now deciding, oh, I'm dramatic. And if I want to fit into this home, I need to numb that part of me out and be silent. Well, that mm-hmm. follows you through your whole life and keeps you from the relationships you really long for and the holistic living that we're meant for. But you've made that decision to protect yourself based on the shattering that occurred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to hear more about that, but we just need to quickly thank our sponsor, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets. And these are animatronic, realistic pets that look and feel like real cats and dogs. They're designed to inspire play and fun and give companionship to older adults. And they've done a lot of research at Ageless Innovation to prove that these awesome pets help in many ways as far as mental and physical health. So you can go to joyforall.com to get some more information and remember to use your code WISDOM15 to get 15% off your very own pet. Kathy and Dan, I know in the book you sort of walk us through a process of understanding ourselves and then kind of giving us this knowledge of, well, how can we now put the pieces together? And to me, that's where the hope comes in. Maybe, Dan, if we could start with you, if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what you perceive as the real hope for having this understanding for people who have been through any type of trauma.
Oh, it's the initial turn to look at what we think will actually destroy us. You know, as a therapist, I've heard people say so often, I'm afraid if I enter this heartache, I will drown in it. Mm-hmm. And that sense of the pain being too much. Yes, we need to engage it, but with kindness, with a understanding that none of us are meant to change overnight. When we begin to turn to look slowly and kindly at the things that have brought us heartache, it actually gives us a new level of courage. And therefore, at some level, a new fortitude to look even more deeply. And again, it isn't a matter of only looking at the past. It's a willingness to name what's true about my life in the past and in the present, while honoring something of the dreams and desires for the future, and to own that and to name it. It may sound too simple, but our ability to put language is where deep change begins to occur, because trauma disrupts language, trauma disrupts memory, trauma disrupts our ability to dream and desire. And the greater courage we have, I think the greater joy we will know. But courage is not something you demand of yourself. It needs a kind of proactive movement, and then being able to hold it well with blessing. And that sense of, yes, we can always be more, but can we bless in the now who we have become in the midst of the kind of struggles that we have faced? Between kindness and blessing, I think are the, shall we say, the things that hold the potential for joy so much more than anything else.
Mm, I love that. Kathy, yeah,
I agree with that. And I think there's a connection between the capacity to hold those things allow you to then dip into the grief. And I really believe that grief is the thing that allows us to move through trauma and actually heal through trauma. But you can't accurately grieve if you don't know what actually happened to you, or then how you've responded and how you've built a life based on betrayal and powerlessness and ambivalence. You know, when you don't know why you're the way you are, then you can't drop into the deepest grief of our lives. And I think people are so terrified of grief because, again, I think they think it's going to swallow you up, but it's really the way through. And that, I think that comes through in the book, but that I found that to be very true in my own life. And, you know, the reality is we're living in a world that's incredibly beautiful, like Dan said, but also insanely broken. Mm-hmm. And if we can't look at both, then we're stuck. We're either stuck in blind idealism that says everything's fine, just keep going, or you're stuck in a cynicism that says, you know, what's the point? And neither of those are going to move you into a place of joy and flourishing.
Mm, such great points. And, you know, in the book, you talk about the importance of understanding dissociative behavior. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about how that, you know, understanding that ties into healing from trauma?
Dan, you want to take that one?
I actually couldn't hear it for whatever reason. Sound just disappeared.
Let me take it then. Yeah. So I think part of how we protect ourselves from trauma is to dissociate. When we're young, we need to keep our family intact. We need to survive, and so we push things aside because it's too much. Mm-hmm. And then as adults, you find yourself dissociating as well, because when we have pain and trauma from our past, which we all do, and then our coping mechanism has been to dissociate, that follows you into adulthood. And I think part of our hope and part of what we write about in the book is a sense of coming alive to your story, mm-hmm. coming alive to your pain. You know, it's almost like sobering up mm-hmm. and realizing, okay, I've been dissociating because it's too painful, but now staying dissociated means, you know, not only will I not feel pain, but I won't feel joy. And at mm-hmm. some point we have to make a decision on how full of a life do we want to live? And mm-hmm. if you want a full life, you cannot just choose the good. You cannot just choose to only look at the good things or, you know, and be Pollyanna about it. Like, it doesn't work that way. And so you have to be willing to really look at the pain, look at the struggle, look at where we're ashamed of our own behavior and take account for it, knowing that ultimately, even though it feels counterintuitive, that is the path to more joy. Mm-hmm. And dissociation is something that we need in our lives to be able to handle the degree of trauma, but in safe spaces, we need to be able to go back and kind of unthaw our hearts. But you have to be careful of how you do that and the demand in which you're doing that. And are you doing that in safe places where people can hold your story well, hold your heart well, so that you're not re-damaging or re-traumatizing a heart that's been dissociated for a reason?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting too is you both talked about levels of trauma in the book, and you wrote this book in the beginning days of the pandemic, and there's been so much said about the pandemic being a collective trauma for us all. Dan, would you agree with that, that we've all sort of been through a collective trauma? And maybe you could just talk about that levels of trauma thing.
Well, I do think it has been a collective trauma, and yet different for... you know, for somebody who's lost their job or someone who's been ill. So again, I don't want to say it's been equal, but I think we all have a sense of deep disruption of what we thought to be a normal world. And I think that's one of the keys to any level of trauma. It's a disruption that feels to some degree like a betrayal. So when you've been groomed by an abuser, it's a level of betrayal that's different than when there has been a pandemic. Yet that disruption of this isn't the way it's meant to be, this isn't how life should be, opens up that reality of a threat against our way of being, or literally a threat against our life. So when we have that threat or danger, Kathy's said it so well, our natural response is to, in one sense, cut it off and therefore limit the level of harm we are experiencing. Yet in that limitation, we are not letting our hearts expand and become what we're meant to be. And survival is lovely, but thriving is more important. Mm-hmm. And you can't thrive unless you survive. But a lot of people are surviving without actually letting even this pandemic open the door to asking really hard questions like, am I in the job I want to be in? Am I living the life with my spouse, with my children, with my friends the way I want to? It is a existential moment to ask some very hard questions, but also to take new levels of risk. And I'm not speaking about not wearing a mask, but the kind of risk of really saying, I need to begin to entertain dreams that I just can't assume will happen over time, but I may need to take big risks toward. That's where I, again, want to come back to the fact that courage is in facing the past, but opens the heart to actually beginning to reconfigure the future in ways that are not bound to the trauma and heartache we've known, but actually open to using that trauma and heartache to generate a deepened sense of motion and movement into the things that I'm really meant to become.
That's lovely. And, you know, I know we're running out of time here, but Kathy, you had mentioned those archetypes. I want to circle back to those and give you an opportunity to define them for us, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, the goodness of archetypes is that they give us kind of some universal stories to help us understand what has happened to us, right? Give us some handholds. And for us and the work that we've done, you know, there are really three common core wounds that we see happening for people who have experienced trauma. And that's the orphan wound, the stranger wound, and the widow wound. And the orphan wound is really, to be an orphan or have an orphaned heart does not mean that you have had to lose your parents. But it does mean that there was not adequate provision and attunement to your core needs. And so that can be really subtle, that can be severe. But an orphan is really learning early on, no one is coming and I'm on my own. And so you become self-reliant, you become hypervigilant, expecting the other shoe to drop all the time. And you really cling on to control because you can only rely on yourself. And so you can only need what you can offer. And so it's almost like you turn yourself into a closed system, which is very impactful to how you then relate to others and very difficult to then be in relationship on any level. The core wound for the stranger is the sense of, I do not belong. I'm too dramatic. I'm too honest. I'm seeing the things in a family that is too disruptive, and people want to shut me up. And the way that they shut me up is by humiliation or shame or mockery. And really, the idea of sending you outside the city gates. Your way of being is too dangerous. You see too clearly. And so you're not welcome here because you're disrupting the systems. And so you're sent out and you're told you're too dramatic. You don't belong. Please just settle down. Be like us, right? That's the stranger. And the widow is the one who has known love and goodness, and it's been lost. And so the widow knows death, and that can happen at a young age, that can happen later on in life. But anytime you feel like, okay, I know what it means to have care and goodness, and now it's been taken away, that can happen through death, that can happen through your parents getting divorced, that can happen through a close relative that you've loved then becomes your abuser. But the core wound of the widow is what do you do with your broken heart and the fact that you've trusted and loved and it's been lost and the goodness has been marred. And so now, the widow wants to isolate and protect themselves from being wounded like that again. So those are the three things that we talk about in the book. And we talk about how to heal those things, how to recognize those things in your life. And then there is healing and goodness and a deeper calling that's meant for those wounds that move you more into the joy that you're meant for.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're running out of time because it's so interesting. And the book, Redeeming Heartache, it's really going to be a life changer for a lot of people. So before we let you go, please tell folks where they can find the book and the work that you do at the Allender Center.
Yeah. So the IslanderCenter.org is where you can find all of our workshops and conferences and all of the places that the Redeeming Heartache Book Tour will be around the country this year. And then RedeemingHeartacheBook.com is where you can go find more information about it and buy the book. And then really it's just available in your bookstores and on Amazon and all the other places that books are available.
Okay. And Dan, the Allender Center, is it just theallendercenter.com?
It is just the and then allendercenter.org.
.org. Great. Okay. I'm glad I asked. All right. Well, thank you so very much to both of you.
Oh, what a delight. Thank you so much for having us.
Such a pleasure.
And that's all we have time for. Thanks again to our sponsor, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets, providing joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to aging loved ones and peace of mind to their families. Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
And until next time, remember, stay connected to your why, feel your core energy with joy, and live your life from the inside out.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you find some joy today.